Chapter 4 Caer Edin sat on a bluff, overlooking a broad expanse of shining water called Muirgiúrdan, an eastward-looking bay that opens into what had come to be known as the Saixan Sea. Lord Ectorius ruled his realm with a steady hand. Fair, generous, as ready for a feast as a fight, Ectoria was descended from a long line of Roman officers, centurions mostly, and a tribune or two as well, who had served the coastal garrisons of the eastern shores. Ectorius was carrying on his family's ancestral trade, watching the sea for the dark, knife-shaped hulls of enemy ships. Bluff Ector served a king, however, rather than a legate. His service was for life, not the 20 years of the Roman army, and instead of Mithras of the legionaries, he worshipped the Christ of the British saints. Apart from these minor distinctions, life for Ectorius was little different from the life his Roman forefathers would have known. His stone-walled stronghold lay 3 days' journey from the place of gathering. It was a fine ride through the Aeldon hills north and east to the sea. Arthur stayed near me all the way, not from any apprehension, I think. He merely seemed glad of familiar company. We talked about the things we had seen at the gathering, the warriors, their skill with the various weapons, the differences in styles of fighting. Arthur had an eye for subtlety, a quality not usually associated with him in later times, but he could tell the difference between a squared bit and a round one in a horse's mouth by the way the animal behaved as its rider manoeuvred on the field, or from which kind of wood a spear shaft was made by the way it sounded when struck on a shield. Talking to Arthur was not like talking to another boy his age. At 8, he had already acquired a wide and practical knowledge of many subjects. He could read and write good Latin and speak it well.